At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Sunday. That means it's time for the Wrestling Inc. coverage of AEW All In, and have we got a show for you. It's officially Mariah May's time. Ricochet has landed in AEW, and Bryan Danielson is now officially the best in the world. But before we get into all of that, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by Flobo Boyce, the guy who can do back-to-back shows late at night, early in the morning, burns the candle at both ends. How you doing, pal?
Pretty awful. I didn't know you only was to use one at a time. I am definitely going through it. But you know what? I always said this. I was trying to figure out what would be the Starcade of the AEW, and it's fitting. It's All In London, my one-year anniversary at Wrestling Inc.
Oh, perfect. Wow, 1 year already. That seems crazy. We'll talk about longevity and how certain things feel weird when they have been around for a long time.
Especially
as we get to the end here with Bryan Danielson. But already a lot of folks in the chat. James Winter says, just out of Wembley. Incredible. Cool there. James, let us know kind of your thoughts of what it was like live for different parts of the show. I definitely want to know your opinion on all of that. But Ricky Zaldivar coming through to say hello. J.R. Smith saying Pacific Northwest officially on the map as the hotbed of professional wrestling. Ooh. J.R., I got to correct you a little bit. Not Pacific Northwest. Washington State is the hotbed. That's right. That's right. Idaho and Oregon, take a walk.
This Idaho hate came out of nowhere, off the top rope. Jeez.
No, there's a lot of good wrestling all over the Pacific Northwest. Cascadia Cup for Prestige Wrestling just went down. That was a great show as well. If you're into the independent scene, check that out.
Ever since I had that feud with Matt Farmer, I have been looking at the area the same ever since.
Matt Farmer, of course, one of the greatest promoters in professional wrestling right now, out in Defy Wrestling. We'll talk about Defy Wrestling because they had one of their fellas on top tonight, at least for a little bit. But we're talking about things happening in the Pacific Northwest and Washington State. But I want to talk about a little bit of news that went down tonight that was announced during the pre-show or mentioned during the pre-show. I think some of these things were actually already announced, but we haven't had a chance to really talk about them. Lobo, Grand Slam coming to Australia in February of next year. And Forbidden Door, it's going to be in London this time around. Some pretty cool things here for AEW, expanding their horizons. And, you know, again, just another example of wrestling becoming a truly global, a shared global thing. It was always global, but now the boundaries seem to be breaking more and more.
Yeah, absolutely. And I always say that when you make wrestling into a destination thing, you only help yourself, not only help yourself, you help the other local promotions as well, as it can have satellite events in Australia, in the Middle East, in Japan. Those make everything great. It makes it a destination. You can go out there for a couple of days, even a couple of weeks, get the lay of the land and see the talent that you know from heart. So I think everyone wins. And the fact AEW is going to Australia might be another reason why I should hit that up at some point in the future.
Yeah, you should try visiting Australia sometime. I think you might enjoy it.
Not Perth, though. Not one enjoy Perth.
JR here with DeFi. DeFi. Of course, you guys definitely need to check out Defy Wrestling. Great stuff happening over
there. I don't want to. Me and Matt Farmer in a feud. He doesn't know it yet. But him and I are in a feud. He'll know I'm alive. But he and I are in a feud.
It's almost like Nigel and Brian Danielson, where Brian Danielson is just having his career, and Nigel McGuinness is out here just hating.
Look at his face. It's awful.
Which was really great. James Winter says, Pop of the Night was Nigel and Jamie Hayter. We're going to talk about that, too. Definitely quiet for CEO versus DMD, and seeing everyone went for the break after the Gauntlet and Ospreay matches. So interesting analysis there. Also says main event was unbelievable there in Wembley.
This is why I love wrestling, because CEO versus DMD in any other context, it's like, what? Why is that happening?
And Fernando saying All In was fire. I love daytime wrestling. Me too, man. It's so weird. I want to talk about that. We got a lot of show to get to, but I do want to mention real quickly how it's interesting. A few years ago, if you had talked to me about middle of the day wrestling, I'd be like, that's going to be a tough sell, Flobo. In fact, middle of the day wrestling, today's a Sunday, but now we're getting it on Saturdays as well, being like, that's a tough sell. But more and more, I'm like, this is great. It makes sense. It's like football or whatever, where you watch it during the day. This is great.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was born in the East Coast, right? And so the first couple of years, you just figured football starts at 1 p.m. Eastern. But moving out west about a billion years ago and having 10 a.m. Football and other sports is pretty cool. And I do think the whole global thing is legit. So many of our foreign fans have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to watch events. I know when it's Wrestle Kingdom, we burn the midnight oil. I think that's kind of cool. We're starting to learn how to time shift or time shift our own sleep rhythms to check out the wrestling programming. So it's pretty sick.
Yeah, James Winter says, I like normal time wrestling, not 3 a.m. wrestling. So we're very spoiled here in the United States, here on the West Coast, too, with very nice times for pro wrestling shows. So, yeah, as you said, with things like Wrestle Kingdom, it's like, what? You want me to watch at what time?
Yeah,
that's insane.
You know what's also insane? Watching the live feed of SmackDown in Hawaii at 2 p.m. on a Friday. That's pretty sick.
Lots of folks coming through the chat. We're gonna have a good time today, by the way. I'm definitely excited about the chat here. But let's talk, you know what, forget it. Let's talk first about the chat. Let's do that. Let's shout out all the folks who are joining us here on a beautiful Sunday afternoon, evening, morning, depending on where you're watching. We got I Am Error. We got Leo Vlogs. We got JR. We got JR Smith, two JRs, Tris Jensen, wow. Ricky Zaldivar, James Winter, as mentioned, Joe C. Lurkin, Matthew G., Robert Jimenez. Shout out to the 206. Jax Hare's on point today. Go Hawks.
Three things I hate in one sentence, but got to.
Brea Milligan, Andrew Faulkner, Jonathan Torres, Fernando, Jeffrey, made by Don Beer.
Money.
Thank you so much for hitting me with the other side there. Daniel Barry, Maria, Leonard Jones, Jose Topete.
Close.
Gonna struggle on that. I don't know why that one's hard for
you. You say Chipotle. How can you say Topete?
Topete.
Yeah. But you always go to Topete. I don't know. Every week you just go, yeah, that's my Pueblo.
To Pete. Topete, Jose, I appreciate you and love you. Thanks for coming through. By the way, guys, do us a favor. Like, comment, share, subscribe, 5-star review. I know I ask for it all the time, but it is stuff that they use to judge and measure us here. So make sure that you hit those like buttons. Even if you're in the chat, leave a little quick comment saying great show or whatever. It does really help us out. Jonathan Torres, good to see you. And then Made by Don says, don't feel bad about Jack Farmer's hair, Flobo. I never see it move, so I believe it's plastic.
See, Don gets it. Don't believe the hype.
This is a helmet. It's protective. It's also a very safe thing to have here. So thank you guys for joining us. We love doing these, and this is going to be a fun show. I want to talk first. Let's talk about, we don't have news to cover really on these shows, so we get to get right into it.
Can I talk about this real quick? Jeffrey says Rhode Island's where I'm from. That's where Raw is tomorrow. Since we're doing something pretty random, there is a radio podcast called Crime Town about Providence and Buddy Cianci. Loved it. I actually listen to it almost every single year. I want to go to Providence on a history tour. Nothing about wrestling. Just wanted to say.
Are they advertisers, Flobo?
No, I'm just saying I like it.
Hey everyone.
Whatever, Seahawks. You know what?
Don't listen to that podcast, hey, guys. They didn't pay for that airtime. Do not listen to it. Don't download it. Don't even
defy Chad 5 minutes ago. I see.
Defy.
I don't like it.
We got Kelly Lippman and Smoggy UK coming through. Stalking you. Doggy emoji is always going to get highlighted. I'm going to talk about the buy-in flow, but we're not just going to lump this all together. We don't need to talk about everything that happened here, because there was about, for a buy-in show, just so you know, we had 32 people. 32 people on the buy-in, which I know we can kind of make fun of, but it is kind of cool that so many people got a chance to be at such a big event, get a payday, all that good stuff. I think it's kind of cool, especially for it being the buy-in, so it doesn't feel like it really took from anything to have this many people. But the story of the night, really, I guess more than 32 people when you think of all the people Soraya came out with, but Jamie Hayter made her return, chasing off Soraya and the whole night family after Soraya cuts a mean promo, getting some revenge for the injury that she incurred at the hands of Soraya. Jamie Hayter, this is a big win for AEW to get back someone who was really one of the most popular wrestlers they had on the roster before she got hurt.
Brother, what is time? How long she was out for? At least 9 months, right? 9-10 months. I don't know the exact time, but that's amazing. Being able to be at Wembley in such a venue. Like I always said, AEW has never really established what their Starrcade is. I'm thinking it's All In, because that's the biggest possible stage. And to say, hey, look, a shot in the arm is back at the women's division, it was amazing to see.
Yeah, I think that'll be really helpful for them. AEW is really in a good spot right now with their women's divisions growing, getting some good talent over there, and really going to be something to see. Hopefully she gets a lot of time, because again, she was really one of the most organic stars they had in that women's division. And now that they've got a lot of other folks involved in the women's division that they can work with, Willow, we saw earlier tonight. Chris Statlander, we saw earlier tonight. We'll talk a little bit about the what's that face for?
What's an organic star as opposed to what? Inorganic stars?
Yeah, people who are sort of, as they say, force fed.
What does that even mean?
Kozlov, Vladimir Kozlov.
Whoa!
How about Lars Sullivan?
I do not want to defend myself.
That's what I'm saying. They're the people who they kind of like, this is supposed to be the star, and they kind of try to make it happen. I don't think she was planned to be a star, but people just loved her and she became a star. Mm-hmm. So that's why I say organic. It sort of just happened. But yeah, we got Willow, Chris Statlander. We obviously have like Perrazzo. We have Thunder Rosa. We have people we'll talk about later tonight, obviously Mercedes and DMD and Mariah May and Tony Storm and a lot of folks. So lots of big stuff, and it's cool to hear she had one of the biggest pops of the night considering she was on the pre-show. So that's a pretty cool deal,
which was a bit surprising. I think we were talking about that in the chat while it was happening. Mm-hmm. It was like, if you're the hometown hero, would you not want to be on the main card to get the maximum exposure, right?
Yeah, I kind of agree. It's easy to say hindsight too, because you hear about how loud that pop was. There was a lot of big returns and debuts tonight, so I could also see why they would want to, you know, try to break it up as much as possible. That said, in hindsight, sort of feel like they could have had a big moment with Jamie Hayter
What's one more? If you're going to give me all the debuts, give me all the debuts.
That's the weakest chant I've ever heard in my life. What's please, one sure. more? What's one more? What's
give it a shot. Please try.
Robert Jimenez. Strickland and Danielson represent the Pacific Northwest in the main event. No.
I thought it was pronounced Jimenez. Okay. What?
They were representing Washington
State. That's the worst state in the area.
Washington is the best.
No, it's not.
Holding down the corner. Look, if it wasn't for Washington State holding down the U.S. right there, the edge would peel up and it'd start to curl. You know what I mean?
It's not paint.
That's like, it's like when you put the thumbtack to hold it up. That's what Washington State does. Wow, the thumbtack state.
That's
top part.
Are you burying in the state? Or are you putting it over? I can't
listen,
even tell.
Listen, if you know, it's really one of the most important things you can have is Washington State. Let's talk about this card. Let's talk about this main card here. This was a very fun, feel good, is what I'm calling it, show for AEW. Just the whole time, it felt like there's a lot of feel good moments. And we start.
Can I say before you start? Before the show even started, I know I cut you off. I love the fact they used Machine Head by Bush, an old school rock track.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm ready to go. I was actually hyped for it.
You know, it's so funny you said that. I didn't even put it in my notes. I thought I'd be the only one that noticed that. But yeah, I was kind of like, interesting. What a banger, by the way, from that era. I mean, it was, it's got to be 25, 26 years old at this point.
This is kind of a weird note. The 2001 No Way Out from WWE used a legal safe version of that song. So that's at least 22 years ago.
I believe it was on the soundtrack for that movie where Mark Wahlberg was like a crazy boyfriend. I can't remember what it was called.
Like a lot of his movies, right? 1994, it says, or at least 94.
Whoa, it was 94. It's 30 years old.
On
the Machine Head podcast, we're going to continue talking about.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
Fear. Yes, Beer Money. That was what it was called. Fear. Oh my goodness, you're absolutely right. I'm so glad you had my back there, Beer Money. That's why we have the best co-hosts in the chat.
Hey, I can go. It's fine.
You know, they do a lot of the heavy lifting for you.
Sure, man.
So I want to talk about this four-way London Ladder AEW World Trios Championship match. That rolls right off the tongue. The Patriarchy, the champions, versus the Bang Bang Gang, the House of Black, and Pac and the Blackpool Combat Club. This, to me, feels exactly like the kind of match you start the show off with. A lot of action, a lot of risk, a lot of people jumping and diving everywhere. Fun one to get things going with Pac getting the hometown moment. Was it the right team to win? Do you like that they had this feel-good moment occur?
Yeah, you know, the answer to your question, yes, short answer. But I was a little bit concerned when the entrances were happening 10 minutes at the end of the buy-in. I was like, whoa, what are you doing? I thought you were going to have the match be three minutes long. But yes, definitely. You know, we wondered about Pac because he was kind of upset. No, he wasn't kind of upset. He was really upset of not being considered for All In. He gets himself in this matchup and really has his moment. And the Blackpool Combat Club haven't really been the same since they didn't have an Englishman in their group. So everything works out, doesn't it?
I didn't even think about that. You're right. He is adding an Englishman, but he's famously not from Blackpool.
Yeah, for sure.
Close Newcastle enough. Upon Tyne, because I feel like that is a fake name. I feel like that's like saying from parts unknown or something. But then you're like, no, it's a real it's a place. It sounds so prestigious.
Musical? Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like where Wuthering Heights is located or something.
And it's kind of the English thing, Stratford upon Avon, right? Like, the River Thames. Okay.
It's funny. Everyone's commenting about all the short ladders in this matchup, which is funny. But I thought this was fun. I'm glad that he got the win. I think it's always, great to have good feel good moments. It reminded me, probably just because of the ladder element of Zack Ryder getting his win at WrestleMania and getting a championship at WrestleMania, where it just feels it's good to see that kind of stuff. I think it sets a good tone. I think it's great to give someone their moment to feel good moments in wrestling. I don't think are ever a bad thing. Sometimes I feel like, especially there was an era where I think wrestling really wanted to break everyone's hearts instead of giving people feel good moments. And I like that we're sort of in an era of let people feel happy watching pro wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. Even though it's kind of weird to root for an actual bastard or a self-proclaimed bastard, I do think it was a perfect call to start it off. Have the energy. All In really was an important pay-per-view for All Elite Wrestling. Whether you're a fan or a detractor, this year hasn't been the kindest to AEW. This was a big event. People were kind of worried. Is the heat still there? Is the love still there? Starting with the match at that level, I mean, it hits all the checkpoints for me.
I a few things I wanted to just take away. I want your thoughts. Now, let's try to put this in a vacuum. Forget that there's too many titles, because I know there's too many titles in AEW. That's that horse has been, it was beaten to death, and now the dead horse is continuing to get beat.
Wow.
Too many titles. That said, in a vacuum, the Trios division, I'm looking at who's in it. I'm looking at these teams, Bang Bang Gang, House of Black, the Patriarchy. this is a super fun division. Like when you just look at the pieces on its own, I really enjoy this division. I think House of Black is a special group. I mean, their presence, their look, their aura, as the kids say, and Bang Bang Gang is just, they're fun. This is a fun, it's not presented as big, but it does give me kind of similar vibes to the old Acolytes, Team 3D, Edge and Christian kind of air of tag team. We're like, you've got these very different style teams that are all super fun.
I'm with you. I think if you think about all the divisions, I know you said vacuum, but all the divisions in AEW, the trios title actually is one of the deepest ones. And then you can also see why each team wants to win. If it was me, if I had the pen, I would probably give them a segment. I would say, hey, look, Rampage would be trios night, or like, hey, the 9:20 slot is for trio stuff. So you can have a little show within the show, because it could be a good feature, much like how the tag team was a good feature 5 years ago in AEW. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you 100%. I mean, this is kind of the thing that no other major North American promotion is doing at that level. Why not underline that?
Do you think that said, because it is different than what everyone else is doing in American wrestling, if we had to get rid of titles, do you think that if you had the pen, if it was your choice, mm-hmm. would you take a risk, roll the dice, and get rid of the tag titles and have everyone focus on a trios division instead? Or would you go the traditional route and maybe break up the trios teams to have tag titles?
This is a loaded question. If you're talking about me and what I would enjoy, yes. The trios thing is a very unique thing that no one's doing. That's your tag team formula. It's a different formula. You can't really compare it to the competition. That makes you stand out to advertisers who may not know the difference between what a snapmare is. However, tag team wrestling has been pretty much for the last 15 years not really exemplified until AEW brought it back in their kind of flavor. It's kind of hard to drop it now, so I see why it's still there. But it was my promotion. Goodbye, 2-on-2, 3-on-3 city.
I like it. That's why I like having you as a host. Spicy. Don't play safe. That's what's fun. And I think if you're a challenger company like AEW, that's the kind of thing you need to do, is do things that are different. In a sense that I don't know how everyone else feels about it, but at the time, everyone felt very bummed out when TNA got rid of the six-sided ring. I was one of them. I thought that was something that made you different. I agree. I think this could be different. I'm seeing a lot of people say the trios division has to go. Corey Pride in the chat says it's hurting the tag team division. Trios titles must go. Final thing on this, because I'll save the Christian talk for later. Because I definitely
on Sunday.
I'm gonna give you a lot of time to talk about Christian, by the way. It's weird because I feel like sometimes narratives get started, and then no matter what happens, they don't change.
True.
And no matter, you know, we'll get an idea about something. If we're keeping it to AEW, maybe it's how the women's division is presented. It gets out there and it's just there forever. Or, you know, the size maybe of wrestlers in AEW, that gets out there and it's out there forever, even though they have Satnam Singh and Luchasaurus and Claudio Castagnoli, even though there's a thing that gets out there. There, other companies have their own, but this is an AEW show, so I'll stick with those. There's this thing that the trios titles are trash because there's so many titles, but this, as we said, is the idea that the trios titles are worthless? Because I got a lot of talk about that. Trios titles are worthless. They need to get rid of them. Is that just a narrative that somehow got put in the ether and we need to get rid of and reconsider?
Yeah, I think because the advent of the trios titles came, I won't say the decline, but it came after the tag team titles were emphasized in AEW programming. People thought it was going to be one too many. Hey, the tag team division isn't as strong. Why are we doing more tag teams? But the Acclaimed were a tag team that pretty much had run their course in this iteration in that division, and were really looking for something else to do. And yeah, I'm not saying making the trios titles pink solved everything, but there's enough opportunities for other teams to put their spin on a division where we don't have to have a semblance of a kind of quality or whatever teams you want to do. So I like it. I wish it was more consistent. I wish I knew at 8:30 on Wednesday was a trios time, or Rampage's trios night, or Collision was trios night, so I can come back and watch that. But I do think people have their formula. They don't want things to change, and when they do change, they complain.
Last thing on this, because we are running long on this segment, but you did bring up a point about how if it was like 8:30 every night. I know some people have complained in the past about like the women's matches always being on at a certain time on Dynamite. Do you like the idea of them having something at the same time every night so that it builds the structure and I can kind of expect it? Or because WCW did the same thing, by the way, like the cruiserweights, and Eric Bischoff has said specifically second hour was like the cruiserweight hour. Do you like that, or do you feel like that's, you got to keep it fresh?
I think with the women's division was a little bit different because it was a time that was given to the women. So it was like, oh, you got 3 minutes and it's at 9:30. And it was like, well, but if the matches are two segments, as they say in the biz, or three segments with commercial breaks, picture in picture break after this, then that, it wouldn't matter nearly as much, especially if the feuds are, or their rivalries are engaging.
Cool. I agree. We got to move on. I feel like we keep talking about this kind of stuff, but we had the AEW women's match, Timeless Toni Storm versus the Glamour Mariah May. Mariah attacks her own mom. Toni gets the crowd to sing her name. Mariah cries. And then Toni considers using the shoe, but her delay allows Mariah May to get the win. This is a story that has been really one of the most popular in AEW for a long time. And couple characters I think have been very popular with AEW for a long time. I want your thoughts on this story and where it's going and the idea, because I've never seen All About Eve, which they keep saying this is like in reference to. Do you think it's cool if they if wrestling companies just sort of copy other stories and implement them, or do you think it's like, hey, that's cheap?
Well, it's cheap. Sometimes you can go and go, oh my goodness. Like, for example, we'll get to it later, Orange Cassidy's intro. I was like, oh, that's a deep cut. If you don't know what that is, you don't know what it is. If you do, you're like, oh, wow, that's great. As far as the women's division, people are talking about, hey, look, can you really have true characters in that division? It didn't seem everyone came out. They wrestled. They kind of went in the back. Timeless Toni Storm started a cascade. It was a fantastic culmination of this angle, having Mariah May get her championship belt. So I think it could be the blueprint for future stories down the line. It hit its marks there. It was a fantastic match. And yeah, I guess I'll say about that.
I do like that. I think something that a lot of wrestling could learn for writing stories, and like, I'd like to see more in AEW. Really, I think one of the things that has made this a success is that this story has a, it felt like it had a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it is now seamlessly kind of leading into the next thing, which is really what wrestling's all about, as opposed to just something happened, later there's a callback, and now a match finishes. Where this?
No, I want to stare down, hot shot, and then move on. Feuds. Done. No, you're absolutely right.
I want a tournament, and then I want to...
Yeah, exactly. Don't worry about thing with development, bro.
But yeah, this was a perfect, like, they became friends. You know, it's very, like, you could tell this story as a bedtime story. That'd be a weird story to tell for a bedtime story. But you know what I mean? Like, this is a real story. Some people like it. Some people don't. That's fine. But I think that's why this has been so engaging and so successful, is that for a lot of people in this division, is it's like, oh, this is a story. And even though the end felt a little obvious as far as Mariah May, it was her time. That I felt like it was a good thing. And I felt like now Mariah May is an absolute star in AEW, a made person. Timeless Toni Storm is still a star and a made person. And so much more can still happen between these two. So crowd very hot for Toni Storm here. She got the first singing of the night, which is always great to see. And I loved the closing segment sequence here. I get really nerdy about this kind of stuff. AEW is pretty good about it tonight, which I think is great. But AEW has historically sometimes had a problem with a moment happening, and then they drag it out too long before the end of the match. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where this one was very, Toni Storm had the shoe. She thought about it. Mariah May was able to, like, rally back and use that to get a win. Bing, bang, boom. I loved that. I think it's a lot better than historically. Sometimes AEW will have the big moment and then kick out, move, kick out, move, kick out, then the end. And you're like, oh yeah, the big moment was like 7 minutes ago. You
just
know what I mean?
Bearing AEW and the AEW after show. I can't believe it. Just a hater. No, look, I'll be honest with you. If wrestling was a movie or a novel, which is kind of weird, why would you read wrestling? But if you did, this one here hits all the marks. You know, you had the facial reactions from Toni. It was great. And that shoe really meant something. If you're into acting, that's Meisner technique, right? You try to put all the feelings behind an object. And so it was great. That part totally works. But I always say this, you're not a star when you win the title. You're a star after your first defense. So wherever Mariah Marais has next up will really prove if she's ready for the dance.
Do you want to see a rematch first? Or do you think that she should move on to something completely different?
As much as it makes sense to have a rematch, like this one has been such a story that it's kind of, it's done. We have the teases, yeah. We have the beatdowns. There's nothing else to do unless you do something like a brand new stipulation we haven't seen before. But that's for what reason?
Yeah, I'd kind of like to see someone new come in as well. Maybe Marina Shirakawa, stepping in or something like that. But we'll have to
see. I thought you were going to say Layla Hirsch. I was like, what? That's out of left field.
Layla? Why?
I think I really want to see like someone like legit Layla Hirsch. And I was like, oh, Marina Shirakawa. Cool, cool.
Well, yeah, legit Layla Hirsch. She's great, too.
Yeah.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
We got the FTW Championship last chance match, Chris Jericho versus Hook. Jericho comes out to a live performance and uses the learning tree to try to take out Hook, but to no avail. They use apples and cricket bats, and eventually it's Taz choking out the bad apple that allows Hook to get the win and become the new FTW Champion. This was another feel-good moment for me because I'm an old wrestling fan and I'm an old ECW fan. I'm a huge Taz fan, so it was cool to get to see him get involved, especially because we don't get to see Taz for multiple reasons get involved that often anymore. So I thought that was a good feel-good moment. But what were your thoughts on this match, the story, and what do you think's next for these guys?
Yeah, the big question I have in my notes is the fact that Taz helped Hook to get his third for the world championship. I wondered, is that a sanctioned title or is it kind of like fighting for an heirloom? Is it the Ula Fala of AEW? That's not really clear anymore. But yes, it was a good match. I was totally engaged top to bottom throughout, my friend. It was Hook had some moves in there.
I think it's more of the CM Punk bracelet of AEW than it is the
$2 retail, but whatever he said.
By the way, he said a fan made it for him, and it's $2 retail. It's worth nothing. I kind of a shot at the fan that made that bracelet. Like the fans at home, like, oh, this is cool. It means a lot to me. Like, yeah, it's worthless. It's trash. It's garbage.
I want it back.
Like, what? I worked on that for you. What?
That's how Jack's producers are. I tried really hard in this segment.
So, yeah, it is interesting. That to me, I'm very curious about where these guys go. Because this, we talk about Timeless Tony Storm and Mariah May. These guys need to be done. I really think we're ready for this to be over. But I guess now the question is who challenges Hook next? Hook is kind of in this weird place right now where he's so tied to the FTW title and the title is so tied to him, it's hard to figure out what you're doing with him outside of people just randomly challenging for this title, which to your point, if it's not sanctioned, why do people want it without just being jerks? But there's only so many times a jerk can go, I want to take what's important to you.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. They put Hook is in a creative corner. Now we could talk about his moveset or his finishers or who does Hook want to challenge for next? But as far as me being backstage without a title going, I need some gold. The only thing I can do is prey on Hook on his size. That means that he has to be the underdog, but Hook doesn't work if he's the underdog, if he's a handsome devil and he like beats you up a lot. So it is kind of a creative quagmire, to say the least. Mm-hmm. I do hope that they do unify that title, but if it's not going to be the case, I'd rather him treat it like a Heritage Cup or an MTV MVP Cup or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. Something, especially in a world where there are so many titles, if you are, you know, theoretically someone in the back, and you're looking for gold, there are so many titles. yeah, why would you pick that one to go mm-hmm. for if it's not even officially a title? You know, I thought it had a place like an ECW back when they were using it. It's had its place. I give it more credit than I think a lot of people do for its time in AEW even, but now it is starting to feel a little bit like it's becoming an anchor because I don't really know what else you can do with it.
And kind of random, it's really the Continental Championship that made the death knell. It's like, well, if I could beat Okada, let's have that feather in my cap. Beating up Hook is like, okay.
So last question on this, who gets sucked into the vortex next, do you think? Because now Jericho's always going to find someone to have something with, but like if you've got the pin and you have to give him his TV time, who's next for Jericho? Because he's also kind of in a spot where now he just got beat and now he's got to figure out a way to pivot to something without really having a warm handoff.
I don't want to shoot over the show, but him going to Ricochet and being like, look, I've been here for years. Let me help you transition. I'm the learning tree. It'd be kind of funny because Ricochet isn't young at all. He's a veteran. So that'd be kind of cool.
Good. That is a good, I actually like that. Do you think, cause there's a rumor we talked about, you know, narratives get out there. Do you think that would be good for Ricochet? Again, without jumping to that part, because we'll get there in a second.
I do think so, because I think a lot of the attractions about Ricochet was he's not good on a promo or everything. We don't really feel what he's saying. I think you have someone who can pretend to be shocked at the most like lukewarm diss in Jericho, and he meant that to me. I'm like, that to me would be hilarious. And Brian Keith and Ricochet matches with Slap. You have the giant matches with Big Bill with Slap. I think everything would work if you would try to go through the gauntlet again to get to Jericho.
Yeah, I dig it. I like it. We had a three-way AEW World Tag Team Championship match, the Young Bucks versus FTR versus the Acclaimed. Constant action with Billy Gunn getting involved and hitting a smooth Famouser. That's an inside joke that no one else gets. That's just for you and me, Flobo.
I'm a Nash man.
And the Bucks use the championships and they retain the titles post-match. Grizzled young veterans make themselves known that they want a shot and they attack FTR. Thoughts on this matchup? And Flobo, are you ready to grit your teeth?
Yeah, that grit your teeth was sick. And I love the fact that Grizzly Young Veterans have made the crossover into AEW. Again, at the hometown guys, even though they're from Liverpool, still pretty cool. They're in the UK. Mm-hmm. The match itself, I like. FTR Young Bucks are great dance partners, proven time and time again. Everyone loves the Acclaimed, even where some Dynamite crowds were kind of over Max Caster. Wembley was all in, pun intended. But I think because FTR and the Acclaimed and Young Bucks are so good, the mission of booing the Young Bucks is failing. Everyone still appreciates what these guys are doing in the ring. It's like, oh yeah, you're supposed to be evil, but that was a dope match. You're still flipping around. So they won, but it wasn't like, oh, what a rip. It's like, oh, they won pretty good. All right. Yeah,
I agree with you. I think that the Young Bucks, they I don't think this is working as them as the super evil EVPs. It's I think you're right. I think people enjoy them. I think their wrestling style conveys itself as a team you're supposed to like. I think they are likable when they want to be likable. Some people are going to hate them no matter what. They're kind of divisive in that way, but I think people are going to like them. I think even the fact that they were coming out in the Beatles gear, I know they were trying to be like cheeky with that, but I think I think actually people dug it. The fans of theirs. I think that I personally like them better as people you're supposed to like. I also like FTR. I really wish that they would get a tag team title run sooner rather than later. It feels like, I see it here in the chat. Beer Money says the tag team division needs a revamp and this result didn't help. I do feel like we need something to freshen up. It does feel like it's been Acclaimed, FTR, Young Bucks for a long time. And it's starting to get a little stale. I love Grizzled Young Veterans here. You and I are longtime fans of GYV. I think the best part of this, the match was fantastic. My favorite part of this was that Grizzled Young Veterans came out. They made it clear they want a shot at the tag team titles, but then also beat up FTR. I love that they weren't just like stepping over FTR. We've talked about tag team wrestling earlier this week on another show about how someone came out to quote unquote save another team, and it made the other team look kind of weak. Yeah. Ironically, them attacking FTR afterwards made me think, oh, FTR are still in this thing. They're not just getting stepped over, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I think it may not be the mix that we're looking for or the shot in the arm we're looking for, but GYV can hit hard and they can do some of the finesse stuff. And they've been proven time and time again, unfortunately, they can slip on a banana peel if need be. So this could be a short stopgap solution, but you're right. Tag team division needs a bit of a shot in the arm.
So yeah, hopefully we see more of them. Big, big grizzled young veterans fan. Happy for them. Beer Money with an interesting comment. I want to know what your thoughts are on this. Says, I think this show proved Motor City Machine Guns and Lucha Bros are E-bound. Now, whether or not they are, I don't know. But do you think that this shows anything that tips the hands of whether you think these guys are coming or going?
I'm not sure what the contract status is for anyone because I'm not an insider. But it seems to me that Lucha Bros were done, even if they were available, right? Because they have proven that they haven't been able to win the big one for so long that if they came out, they definitely would sound like filler now, which is crazy. If you know Pentagon, if you know Rey Fénix, they shouldn't be filler. But yeah, when they come out now, they go, okay, they're going to win one and lose one and win two and lose two. So no, but Motor City Machine Guns could have been kind of a cool mix. The fact they weren't there does raise a couple questions.
Yeah, I agree. I think Lucha Brothers are gone from AEW, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on where they go and what they do, because I like them being on TV. I thought that they were something special that could have been a big attraction for AEW, and for a time they were, but for whatever reason, they're not anymore, and that's just kind of the way it is. But that's why I love that there's so many options for wrestlers these days, because I could see Lucha Brothers showing up in about four or five other places off the top of my head, not counting just the indies. You know, I mean, I could see them in WWE or any one of their umbrella companies. I could see them in CMLL or AAA or New Japan or TNA. You know, like they're going to be just fine, and they're going to be on TV. And if there's not space in AEW, which people have said there's too many people on the roster in AEW for a long time, if there's no space for them there, then I'm glad that they'll have the opportunity to be somewhere else, because I want to see them on TV.
I just want to see them on TV so I can dress up as Pentagon for Halloween again as Plomo Todo Miedo.
Man, Pentagon in Lucha Underground was something else, man. He was the coolest. I always said he was like the Stone Cold Steve Austin of... Like, because his music would hit, and you're like, oh, someone is going to get a can of whoop butt on him. Yeah. I don't know if I'm allowed to say whoop butt. Sounds weird.
That's whoop butt sounds like, sounds like oddly After Dark. It's not like we should be saying this.
why does saying it the right way sound more PG than saying whoop butt?
Hey, guys, you'll see Jack tomorrow on the Raw After Show. You know what happened.
So we move on to what, crazily enough, maybe stole the show for me, Flobo. The Casino Gauntlet, Battle Royal. I don't know how you phrase it. This is the Casino Gauntlet. If guaranteed world title shot, as far, I believe the rules are, there's up to 21 people who are involved. They come out at a interval. I don't remember what the interval is, but the first pin or submission ends the match. So we may not see everybody. We only got to 11 people. That was Orange Cassidy, Okada, Nigel McGuinness, Kyle O'Reilly, Zack Sabre Jr., Roderick Strong, Mark Briscoe, Adam Page, Jeff Jarrett, Out of This World, Ricochet, Christian Cage, and Luchasaurus. Lots of surprises here. I love the idea of this match. I love the idea of like a rumble that could actually end at any minute. I think this is fun. I enjoyed it. What were your thoughts on the idea of, and how this played out, and just any general thoughts of the surprises?
Because I'm a big kid, the idea of the match sounds good, but I was thinking about doing that in the video game. I'm like, oh man, that'd be so hard to win if there's 21 people around you. All pins are getting broken up. So, but the match is great because the surprises really did deliver, right? You didn't really know who to expect, and we got people that no one would have predicted, like your boy Nigel.
Yeah, I gotta say, speaking of Nigel, you know, we cover wrestling, and so sometimes you get lost in the weeds, and sometimes you get into like analyst mode, and you know, you're like, well, how is this going to affect the ratings tomorrow, and will this drive tickets and blah blah blah, and you get kind of stuck in this thing. When Nigel McGuinness came out, I'll be honest, man, there was the inner fan in me that came out, and you've seen me at certain shows certain things happen and sometimes I lose it. I'm like, I am a fan. And I feel like that's actually my superpower as a pundit. And I know some people very good about understanding what the ratings are going to be, very good about understanding like what's going to sell tickets and all that stuff or what the best stories are. I feel like I can tap into my inner fan very, very well. And when
I put yourself over like that, oh, I'm a fan. I can tap into it.
When I just channel through my hair, the ability
I hate you. In Washington State, I can totally.
When I saw Desmond Wolfe come out, getting used to saying his name is Nigel McGuinness.
Desmond Wolfe.
But as a fan, I knew he wasn't going to win. But man, I was rooting for Nigel so hard in this thing. This feels like a one-time thing, but man, I think there's money on the table for a Nigel McGuinness run.
It's interesting because he came out. I was on board. I'm like, this guy's been working out. Kind of tragic because I don't really have to do many as much as his. My body is nowhere near on that level. But you're right. Seeing the ring and go, seeing him, it was just his moveset. I go, this can still work in 2024. Yeah, you don't want to put him in a stink situation where he's like going through plain glass windows and falling off buildings. But you can definitely have a bit of a run there. I put my pen down. I was like a fan, like you were saying. I tapped into my lack of hair.
You were able to do down. It? That's strange.
Yeah, it's uncanny, man. I just made sure I had it.
I thought I was the only one who could be a fan.
Yeah, you're not special. Imagine that.
Not special?
I wanted him to. No, you're not. I'm sorry.
I'm in every scene of the movie that is my life,
Lobo. I'm the main character, you NPC. No, I just I wanted him to win, too. I really did.
Sorry I stepped all over your bit there, but... yeah, I thought this was really fun. Would you like to see this matchup be something that is a regular, like, could they turn this into a Royal Rumble for them in the sense that now Royal Rumble clearly has decades of lineage and history and all that stuff. So maybe not as big in the near future, but could they make an event around this? Could this be like every year at this event, the main event is this big casino gauntlet match or something? Could they make it into something big like that?
I think so, but I do think it would be cool for me as a fan if they had like the draw where they have like six or seven people we know are going to be in and what position they're going to be in, and then the surprises are telling you, hey, look, slot 12 is open, slot 15 is open. I think it'd be kind of cool to have like a measured surprise in that level. But yeah, it could definitely be a special edition of Dynamite, or it could be a lower pay-per-view.
Do you think they should have let us know a few more people going into this one? Obviously, certain people, they don't want to say, you know, Ricochet, obviously, but like, should they have said certain people are going to be in here?
See, I think so. The fact that it could end at any time, I understand it's kind of an unpredictable thing, but imagine being someone waiting in the go position of the on deck circle and then going, oh man, or hey, look, you're number 22, we get you in the next one. Like that, I think there's a lot of storyline like tags you can use to further future storylines to do that. So, yes.
You know, and because we talk about this with the Royal Rumble and a bunch of other things, I feel like there is a lot of stuff they could fill in Dynamites with like qualifying matches for this match where you have to win a qualifying match. I think what would be really cool is you win the qualifying match and you pick the number, because if you pick, unlike the Royal Rumble, 21 isn't the best number.
No.
But number one may not be the best number. And so it'd be very interesting. The first person who gets to pick, what number do you want to be? You want to be late, but you don't want to be too late. And I think during the match, you could even, as you build up and do more of these, I think it'd be very interesting if you had someone like a Adam Page, who's like, I got to win this thing. You know, let's say you have him at number 18 and you know he's number 18. And throughout the match, you could show him kind of pacing back and forth and getting worried about like, oh my God, I might not get my chance. And you could even tell the story of like, I didn't even get to come out. I'm so upset. And you could make that into something.
Oh yeah.
Where now he feels like he was robbed. I qualified for this match. I didn't even get to be a part of it. I feel like you could play a lot with some of this stuff.
It seems like what, number 3, 4, and 5 would be the most ideal slots. I would assume then.
I mean, I guess. Yeah.
I don't guess.
I don't know. I mean, there's only been two of them, so it's kind of hard to, it's kind of hard to really get analysis there. But as far as Ricochet obviously debuted. That's going to be a big talking point going forward. Was this the right time to have him debut. Do you think it was good to have him as a surprise to keep this kind of being a surprise filled event, or should he have had a more of a focal point?
I'm torn, because if you give me like the vignette, like Ricochet is coming, I'll be like, oh, okay, that's cool. If you have in the main event, like we did a year ago or 2 years ago, where guys are just showing up, you go, oh, we've been there before. I feel like that's been a tactic we used. So I think a sports-based promotion, having a sports-based entrant makes sense. It's fine. But the fact that Ricochet himself really wasn't that much factor into the decision, I wanted to be something we'll look back on and say, wait a minute, you know?
Yeah, it's corny to say, and it's an easy out, but it will – the follow-up, you know, this week is going to be very telling, I think, more so for Ricochet. I think what's smart about it, and with all the returns and things we saw today, it does keep AEW pay-per-views feeling like if you don't spend the money, you're going to miss out on big things. Because, you know, sometimes people say, well, you can't always have these big debuts and returns and things on pay-per-views. But part of me says that is something that makes you want to buy the ticket, though. If you know that every time they do it, someone's showing up. I mean, it is. They make more money selling this pay-per-view than they do it on Dynamite, you know?
True, but I do think there's a small but vocal contingent that are just kind of burnt out of surprises in general, like it's kind of the big announcement situations. And so I think that's kind of bleeding in unfairly into not buying into the pay-per-view. So I get having less, but no, give me all the surprises. I want to be surprised. Swerve me.
That's my attitude. Just give me everything. Give me everything right now. Don't make me wait. Just give it all to me. I am like a child during the Christmas holiday season. Give me all my presents right now. Why really? Wait? I want everything right
now. Did you do the Christmas Eve opening, or do you have to wait to Christmas Day? No.
My mom was a tyrant when it came to Christmas. You did not get anything until Christmas morning. Nothing. No sneak peeks. You didn't open cards. You got nothing until Christmas morning. She always gave us this was how sadistic my mom was. I shouldn't say that because she still is sadistic. Not was. She is
Mama Farmer now.
She'd give us this. This is like, you know, devil went down to Georgia. Can you win this fiddle of gold? She said you can open one thing before Christmas, but if you do, everything else goes back and you never know what it was.
Whoa, mind games.
So if you wanted to, yeah, you could open one present early, but you'll never know what anything else was for the rest of your days. And me and my sisters never had the guts to take her up on it.
Dude, that means you pretty much could hang Christmas over you for like 2 months. Yeah. If you don't behave, it all goes back.
She still is. And to this day, as an adult, she'll say you can't have anything until Christmas morning.
Forget Hell in a Cell. The most sadistic structure is a farmer household, apparently. Can come on presents now.
Jeez. Oh, man. Matthew Lee says, Danielson retiring as champ on Wednesday after watching him with Birdie at Media Scrum. I don't know what that means, but sounds like something's going on with the Media Scrum. It's so weird. The wrestlers at the Media Scrum must be like trying to rush through being on there, because I know everybody is watching this show backstage at AEW to see what we think.
Why even have the scrum, guys?
Yeah. Beer Money says, we all knew he was coming, Ricochet. Ripped the Band-Aid off, but he got a pop and now can come out Wednesday for his new feud. I like it.
With the learning tree.
Last of all, and I talked about this, and try not to step over the main event too much, but I want you to have a moment. I rarely give you your flowers, and
you never to give you my flowers, moment. Jack, ever. What are you talking about?
This is uncomfortable. I don't know how I'm going to do this, but for a very long time, you have been a Christian guy.
The Christian guy.
You're very, okay, very pious. Yes. You're very one thing you're always doing is talking to me about you're a very big Christian Cage guy. You always have been, like, for as long as I've known you, way before it was cool to be a Christian guy. And now he is, I think, for my dollar, the very best bad guy in pro wrestling today. I think across the board, anywhere, he's the best. He is the best villain in all of pro wrestling. And I think that he's someone who could, now that he's won this match, he has a shot at the world championship. Will he win it? That's still to see. Again, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but I want you to talk about Christian Cage, and I want you to take a moment to gloat that you called it. He is great. And before it was cool, and you should get your flowers and get recognition.
I swear, if I start, you go, we're out of time, I'll be upset. Go ahead, and moving on. No, let's be real. Christian Cage, when he got signed, I think he was a first signing. I saw the mumblings and murmurs. Oh, okay, I guess it's kind of cool, whatever. The Outwork Everyone era didn't really do well. But back in the day when there was an Edge and Christian, I noticed who was in the ring longer. I noticed you had the facials. I noticed you pretty much put himself in the best possible physical condition. When he went solo, went to ECW, and he came back after that TNA run where he became the NWA World Champion, he held that WWE ECW brand on his back. He actually had the World Championship after Edge had to retire, the one more match thing. Here's someone who's consistent, reliable, often overlooked because of people a little bit more flashier. But if you think about it, even the ENC days, he also had the comedic timing, and all of that's coming to him now. You go home on his little interviews, he's always in character, but he's always hilarious. The patriarchy thing is great because someone everywhere has an issue with their dad or a male figure in their life. And look at Bryan Danielson now, wanting to be a father figure, not stepping over the future. Here's a chance where everyone got on board that Christian bandwagon, but I've been here for years. I'm kind of glad he's getting the recognition. I thought WWE should have signed him after he returned that Royal Rumble 2 years ago or 3 years ago now. And it was kind of a missed opportunity, but he's proving he can do 5 or 6 more years at this level.
Yeah. Again, another reason why it's great that there's multiple wrestling companies, because I don't know if he would have gotten this opportunity anywhere else. And he is such a good villain. He is so good. And we were talking before the show started, and I was saying, if I was the guy making decisions, I would line him up for a world title shot, because I think he is a face of the company villain. I think he is, you know, I always talk about in AEW villains that have teeth, people who are like dangerous, not just like jerks, but people who are dangerous villains. And he is that guy. He does funny stuff, and you'll get little chuckles here and there. And you'll even get a little bit of a pop when he says, "Oh, you have a dad," or whatever. Yeah. You know, because you know where it's going. But even that, when he says the, like, when you see him lining up the "you have a dad" thing, or "you used to have a dad," it's very Randy Orton-esque in that, like, you know, the Viper is about to strike, and you're like, oh, he's about ready to tear someone down. And he is just something special right now. And I've said before, again, I think the Young Bucks should be good guys, which is, I think, one of the reasons I'm about to say this. But I've always said if Christian Cage was the one that destroyed Tony Khan and attacked him that day and somehow took some kind of power in AEW, it'd be the hottest story in wrestling right now. If he's, you know, you've taken advantage of your father and then took out Tony Khan, I think that would be one of the biggest things going, because he's got that gravitas of, like, I am vicious and I am evil and I'm terrible, and I'll do whatever it takes to get what I want. I love this. I think it's great. And again, we'll talk about Bryan Danielson in a little bit. Hard to talk about this without stepping on that part, but we're pros. We'll do it. Christian Cage, I think, is an absolute special person. And I'll admit, I was slow to the take on Christian Cage. So I'll admit.
Jack was wrong, man. I'm just letting you know. Asterisk.
No. I was slow on the take. I was not wrong.
Oh, what the? Boo.
Huge difference.
That's an Idaho way of life right there. I'm not wrong. I just planted the seeds kind of slow to everybody else.
No. Listen, it's Washington. We've got Western Washington, Eastern Washington, two very different things, but they're still Washington State, championship level stuff.
Where does East become West? I'm just curious.
The mountains.
I don't know. I haven't been there.
It's the divide. Well, most people don't go to Eastern Washington.
I mean, I'm not stupid.
my geographical region continues to get smaller.
Where is Jack's mama's house? I can avoid that part of Washington.
First, I heel turned on the Pacific Northwest, and now heel turn on Eastern Washington.
Super kick.
Watch out, Olympia. So we have a place you find Washington State is in America, and we had the American Championship on the line today. Lots of fun. MJF looks to defend against Will Ospreay. Lots of action that eventually leads to MJF using the belt as a weapon, but it's not enough, and Ospreay continues. MJF goes to use the foreign object, but is stopped by a masked man that turns out to be Daniel Garcia. This opens up Ospreay to hit the Tiger Driver, finally, and get the win. This was a fun one. I thought lots of stuff happened here. Again, another feel-good moment with the return. Hometown boy getting the win. International championship is back. Break it down.
I was kind of funny. I was like, Daniel Garcia, I thought he was dead. I'm kidding. He's back, though, in Pac form. And he found a way to get himself involved in his matchup. But I will say this. I'm not the biggest MJF fan. In fact, I'm going to say I'm a big MJF hater. But that American entrance was so obnoxious. I loved it. It was just in your face, USA, Rocky villain. The match was great. Of course, Ospreay had the energy of the crowd. But if you really want to beat up MJF, it felt even a little bit more satisfying. And I know it's going to be a hot take in the Wardlow match because it felt like he was beating America to get his title back. So I actually enjoyed this one.
Yeah, it really did. I love you talk about Rocky villain. I mean, he literally had, for the entrance, felt very Apollo Creed. And of course the wrestling gear, very Lex Luger, yeah. Which is cool to see. I love seeing that homage to the total package. This one I loved. I thought it was fun. This one did have a few critiques from me, Flobo. A little.
Whoa. You mean the Assassin's Creed thing? I'm trying to avoid that part.
I was going to say the Assassin's Creed thing. I call it a nitpick because, like, I don't blame them. Like, if Assassin's Creed paid me to do a whole bit about Assassin's Creed right now and about how you can get it streaming soon on PlayStation and Xbox.
You could do ad reads that don't get money for?
No,
I'm
joking. I totally get it. I do. But it felt very weird that you have this guy who's, like, European guy, European show, and then this theme and vibe that felt like neither of those, like nothing to do with it on top of it, if that makes sense. Especially as you're going for the American championship, the whole thing, I guess they got it in there in a fine way, but it also felt very like this didn't make
it's a half sense. Measure. It's a half measure. Either you had to have Will have a completely, dare I say, for lack of a better word, Asian entrance and have full-on costumes, not people in hoodies and sneakers, or you just say it, Assassin's Creed sponsors this and give him the entrance, but have people look like other Will Ospreys. They tried to do both. It was neither, and it was kind of weird, but thankfully MJF saved us with the power of America.
You know, I love that you're just leaning into that American pride.
It was so great. It was so obnoxiously awesome. And I don't even like MJF. I was like, you know what? That's a song. That's a theme. That's a new national anthem. Ding, 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 ding,
I love it. I love his American thing. It's a bummer. He's probably going to get rid of it forever. Yeah. One of the other things that, like, I love Daniel Garcia's back. I think this is a big story because obviously we weren't sure where Daniel Garcia was going. It sounded like, if we pull back the curtain a little bit, like he may go somewhere else. This looks like he's staying in AEW, which is great for them. People who know that I am a huge Daniel Garcia fan, and I believe he has a very bright future. Looks like he's got MJF lined up next. I dug this. It felt like the story of maybe I don't ask who won. Did you watch the show? Maybe I don't.
Ospreay. Ospreay.
Such a good entrance that guy has. the Tiger Driver story. This is the story that they've been building up for a long time. I felt very much like it always feels like that part of the story is like a, oh yeah, that's something that's going on. Because even this, with the finish of the match, it felt like the story was Daniel Garcia coming back. And I was like, oh yeah, the Tiger Driver. And I don't know if it's because Ospreay hadn't been in AEW very long to kind of make the Tiger Driver a big deal beforehand. I mean, he'd only hit it like two or three times before he stopped doing it in AEW. So it wasn't exactly like Goldberg not using the jackhammer anymore. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't
what a comparison.
Like, oh, okay. You're not using this. Well, they're similar. So I don't know. I get they did what they needed to do, but I felt like the Tiger Driver thing was like, oh, okay, he used a Tiger Driver. I didn't have that feeling of like, oh my God, he did it.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the disadvantage of being a professional wrestler that goes full on all the time. You kind of take the fact you can't do things for granted. And like comparing it to like say a John Cena, because the move requires so much superhuman strength, the time was where he would try to fail the AA, he'd like he'll shake and he'd go rah, whatever. But Ospreay is so limber and so nimble, you never think he can never do it because he looks so, you know, young and full of vigor, as they say. So it was almost like he feels more overpowered than he is. And so I'm glad they reminded us that, because you go, yeah, he's only human, just like you and me. So that's kind of cool. But yeah, you're right, it's kind of an afterthought as well.
A lot of people are wondering who's next for Ospreay. Some people are predicting Ricochet, which I think a lot of people want to see. Ospreay has called that out specifically. If I was the guy booking, I would not do that match just yet. I feel like that's one that you tease for a while. And also, I wouldn't want to put Ricochet in a spot where he has, you know, if he loses again, now we're in dangerous territory. And Ospreay just won the title back.
Unfortunately, though, All Out's in 2 weeks. So I'm with you, but it may happen anyway.
I mean, it might happen. Yeah. There's a lot of things that happen that
I'm just stirring the pot. I don't have any answers to these awful questions.
Look, he'll find somebody. It's a championship match. I mean, maybe he just says, Daniel Garcia, you get a title shot because you technically earned one when you, he did something to earn a title shot. Like he beat MJF or something. Something happened. I can't remember what it was, but he had a title shot. Oh no, he lost that title shot. Never mind. Mm-hmm. Scratch that. Okay. Never mind. And Cobalt Reborn says Daniel Garcia MJF next. Ospreay maybe sits all out.
Right. Yeah, why not? I'm glad it's 2 weeks apart as opposed to a week apart for last year. But having those two back to back always seems like a bad idea now, especially with the new calendar. But yes, why not?
I think it's just bad. Even 2 weeks is tough from a financial standpoint for a lot mm-hmm. of people too. Like mm-hmm. that's it's a lot to ask. And then Danny Cochran asks if that's a SB Super Bowl XL behind you. And as a 12, why would you have that one? Oh, yeah, the ball is – it's an official game ball. It was from the actual game. I won that, by the way. So I have that one because, hey, it was still our first go-round. You know, it was our dress rehearsal.
As hey, I like Danny, focus. Hey, we're doing a whole pay-per-view show. You're like, that's a football. Hey! What are you doing?
I have a quick this last thing on this is you have we had a MJF basically made a specialty championship just for him in this case. Over the years, there have been a lot of different championship belts that have been made that were sort of specialty for one person championship belts. And this is for everyone in the chat and anyone in the comments. Please let me know. Do you have a favorite specialty where it was made for one person? So not the big gold belt, but, you know, a smoking skull belt, or even though a lot of people held that, but that was definitely a stone cold belt or a spinner, or you know what I mean?
Do you mean like in AEW or overall?
Overall.
That the John Cena US spinner was amazing. Like the fact that it was American because of how obnoxious it was.
Yes.
And it spun. I mean, that was pretty dope. That's like, I mean, that's going to be generational, a generational belt if there ever was one.
That really is one. You know what I love about it too, is the spinner. As Cobalt says, the spinner in the chat here, things move so quickly here. Yeah, the spinner was ridiculous, but so fun. That is one of those things, and one of those things why, as a fan, I always try to pump the brakes on hating things right away, because in the moment, people hated the spinner. They hated it, but now we look back, I'm like, the spinner was so cool.
The spinner US was great. The spinner title, which I understand, was great when it actually spun, and when it didn't, I was like, it says champ. That's kind of weird.
I always hated it when like they had it and it was like sideways. Like they didn't have it lined up. And it was like, if they just like were holding it, like wearing it, and it was like turned, and you're like,
yeah,
now it looks bad.
It doesn't look bad. But you and I disagree on this one, because you love the Daniel Bryan Wooden Championship.
I love the Daniel Bryan Wooden Championship. Oh, I loved it. The Planets Championship. Oh, I loved it.
It was wooden, like had gemstones on it. It gets me so mad. That's the last time the heel did something that got me really mad. Was a wooden championship belt. Oh, my God.
Sustainable championship. I loved the
I still hated it.
It was so great because it was so just grating to see that.
And he put it over by like putting over the cow that was a leather for the last championship. Davey lived a long life. I was like, what?
That is really one of the unfortunate characters that we unfortunately did not get to see more of, because that was fantastic, that people's champion. So good. Smoggy is asking, I'm going to throw this to you, Flo, but do you think this counts? Smoggy says, how about the WCW belt with NWO sprayed over it? Surely an iconic belt. Do you think that counts as a personalized belt?
I do not, but if you are in the 2K thing, then it has its own category. So I guess so, but I will not count that as a championship, because it really was the WCW championship painted over.
Yeah, I got to agree. I don't think it counts. I don't think it counts as a specialty belt. It definitely has I agree. I think it has a place in history, but I wouldn't count it as like a Hulk Hogan belt.
Do you count Jack Perry's title then? Because he painted it.
Well, he did a lot to it. I don't actually know what he did. I mean, he like poured metal on it and then broke the metal. I don't know exactly what happened, I think it looks really cool. It depends. Mm-hmm. It depends what happens with it going forward, because we haven't actually seen a whole lot of it so far. No, but I think it actually looks really cool. Though I don't know really what he did to it.
Something was like forging metal. He was out there blacksmithing.
Yeah, because it looked like he put it into something, then poured metal on it, and then he scraped stuff away, and then it looked like the exact same belt that it was. And then he painted. Why didn't you just paint it? But it looks
cool. By Dan, brother. Like, just call him up. Why waste your time?
Shout out Belts by Dan. You're not a sponsor either.
Shout out to Jay Willie. That's the reason why I asked you about AEW, because the Scorpio Sky Lakers belt was cool, even though I'm not a fan of the Lakers, and Scorpio Sky has pretty much disappeared. That right there sticks out to me for that TNT title.
I do. I'm a Scorpio Sky fan, and I'm enough of a Lakers fan.
Interesting. I don't know.
It's because I get to see their game still, where the team I really want, the Sonics, are gone. They're on hiatus.
The heck out of Washington.
They're on,
like, this
they're on
team
summer hiatus.
The worst kind of hiatus.
Secular Belt says the Lance Storm belt rocked. Correction, the Lance Storm belts. There's three of them.
Don't get them started.
Three glorious.
We don't. We don't want to know about that. They're all stickers. They're all stickers.
Because they stuck around in our hearts and minds. The AEW TBS championship match went down. Mercedes Moné versus Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Camille gets involved early and often. There are shenanigans with the belt and Britt using the Eddie Guerrero maneuver to get rid of Camille, but Moné still gets the win. I do think that the right person won. I think that Mercedes Moné should still be the champion at this point. There's some weirdness to me in this one, but before I go too far into it, I would love to know your thoughts.
It's the worst match of the card. And this is something that I'm not sure is because of the sequencing of it all being so late in the thing, or the fact that Mercedes Moné is not working and people are just thinking, let me just double down and make her seem more arrogant, it would work. Or the fact that Britt Baker does not really match up style-wise with Mercedes Moné. You can't say Mercedes Moné is a bad wrestler. In fact, you could argue she got Stephanie Vaquer her latest job, but this here was flat. It was hour three of the pay-per-view. You heard the crowd be silent. That should be a red flag, if not an X, to see what happens next with these two ladies. I'm sorry I'm being harsh here, but it's unfortunate because it could have been a banger had it been earlier or on Dynamite or under different circumstances.
Yeah, it is a tough spot to be in, where it's at, not just because it's coming after what was a major matchup with Will Ospreay and MJF, but also we're late into the show and we still got two more matches after this one. So it's not like, okay, we're in our final like push. It's like, okay, we got a lot of wrestling to go to. Also, I agree. I don't know if they had the best chemistry in this one. And look, Britt Baker hasn't had a match in a very long time. So let's just be fair. And Mercedes Moné is still coming back after being off for a very long time.
Okay. I can ask you this. You knew that. I'm sure Tony Khan knows that. He's a smart man, right? Why is this match not switched on the card with the actual AEW Women's Championship, one that had a story that was going on for months?
Oh, I agree. I think that I was actually surprised that the women's championship was on so early. I thought that was one of their biggest matches of the show. I thought for sure that would have been the second to last co-main event. I was actually very shocked by that. So I'm with you. I don't know why. Usually this I feel like is a Jimmy Corderas thing that he would complain about. And I would say you're nitpicking, but this kind of got me. The Eddie Guerrero spot, I didn't like it. I didn't like it, Flobo, because it didn't make sense to me that Britt would act like she got hit by a foreign object by someone on the outside to the ref, because your initial reaction would be, okay, then you end the match in DQ and Britt wins, but she doesn't get the title. To me, that felt like that didn't seem like a smart move to me. And it also didn't feel like the ref did what the ref was supposed to do in this situation.
I mean, you can get to the bigger issue about we don't need to have an Eddie Guerrero homage all the time. I mean, I'm not here to disparage your legacy of Eddie Guerrero, but I do think he's the most often imitated wrestler dead or alive today. It's a bit too much. Didn't need it. But you're absolutely right. It did raise the question. You were texting me going, wait, is that supposed to be a DQ situation? Is she hoping that there's referee's discretion here? Not sure what the intent was. And it kind of made the clunky match even clunkier.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I did like, now I will give like Britt Baker her credit. I thought the little wave at the camera was great. It was a great little character bit. So I did enjoy that kind of stuff. I'm not really sure I dug this. Do you think they need to have a rematch, or should they just like move on from here?
I think for the sake of either women's like, not legacy, but like their run, they should run it back, sure. But if they didn't do it, I don't think anyone would complain. And it's sad, too, because on paper, because Britt Baker was the original House Diva, and I mean that in the classical sense, right? She was the one we thought about, the women's division, that lights out match with Thunder Rosa 3 years ago, was amazing, but it just didn't work. And then you have to make a decision there. If you're a promoter, I wouldn't have them again. But, you know, with All Out in 2 weeks, you can run it back and no one would care.
George Hermosa in the chat says he's still lurking and says that it's time to move on to the next subject. No, he's saying it's time to move on from this rivalry. I agree. I don't think we really need to see more. If anything, even if we want to see the rematch, I think Britt Baker should do the old, you know, has to claw her way back up story to get back to that opportunity. Plus, I feel like in a shockingly short amount of time, I am ready to see Camille versus Monet. I feel like Camille seems like a superstar to me. She seems like a great fit for AEW, and I think that she is I think they got something with her. I think she's great. Thoughts on Camille?
Camille's a brick house. You know, eventually it's going to turn to against Mercedes Moné. The match is going to be there. I feel like it would work. I feel like that's a natural progression. That's a natural end. But I would rather hit the fast forward and see what it would be afterwards. I know it seems kind of like selfish on my part, but I don't want to go through that again because we've seen that before, especially in that division.
Kind of like when a Marvel comes out with a new hero movie and you know it's going to be something where they stumble upon their new powers and a bad guy stumbles upon very similar powers. And then they have to, it's two of basically opposites with the same powers battling each other. You know it's going to be good, but at the same time, you're like, I kind of know this one. I can't wait to get to the sequel when they do something different.
You know what? For me, that was Ant-Man. I was like, I was in the movie going, this is Iron Man 1 with scraps in a cave. You know what I mean? I'm like, this is... okay, I get you.
Yeah, no, it's when you look back, like every debut Marvel movie is literally the same formula, but it works. Mm-hmm. So who am I to question? They make billions of dollars every time they do it. So
exactly. And I have ramen for breakfast, so it works out.
Yeah, so, yeah, we'll see how that goes, and we'll see how all that turns out. We get to the TNT Championship Coffin Match, Jack Perry versus Darby Allin. Lots of big moments with tacks, glass, and long falls through tables. Pretty dominant win here by the scapegoat, Jack Perry, to retain the title and hands Darby his first loss in a coffin match. Young Bucks come out, and they want to light Darby on fire, but Sting is on the scene and chases off the Elite. I know this was a fun moment for... I'm torn on this one, Flobo.
Tell me.
I really am, because I love this for Jack Perry. And I'm a fan. Jack Perry's very divisive. Some people hate him. Some people love him. I'm big neutral. Fan of what he's doing. Boring. Is it comfortable sitting on the fence?
Ride the pot.
Straddling the fence. No, but I thought this was a great moment for him getting the win. And I actually think it was great to see Sting come back and chase off Darby Allin. But I feel like the combination of the two sort of cancels each other out. Like, now I feel like we're not going to get Jack Perry versus Sting. So there's not really a follow-up there.
Yeah.
But I don't know why I feel this way. This is hypocritical of me, because I know some people would say, like, well, we're not going to see The Rock versus Undertaker, and The Undertaker got involved at WrestleMania, and yeah. I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with this kind of thing. But for some reason, the way this went down, I don't know. I'm left feeling like I don't know what you do next here.
You know what? I think the intent, I'm not trying to speak for Tony, but I think the intent was, man, Jack Perry is so unhinged, he's going to resort to murder. And then a guardian angel came and gave Darby Allin an extra light. But you're right. You can't really have next week Jack Perry versus a retired Sting. It's not going to work. So this is a problem of bloating this all-in pay-per-view. I think the match was great, hit all the numbers, but this match needed to be 25, 30 minutes. This needed to be 40-minute matchup just to get that whole drawn out. I can't believe Jack Perry's found a way to beat Darby Allin in his own game. Not asking for it here, because you had a lot stronger matches, but All Out's 2 weeks away. I would have saved it for then, and that could have been one of the matches of the night. But now it kind of feels like everything got rushed through in, what, 10 minutes, 12 minutes?
Yeah, and I was okay with them kind of rushing through it, to be honest, maybe because it was this late into the show, and so I was kind of ready for things to start moving along. But I do think I think the Sting return would have felt a lot bigger if it was on a different show. If we hadn't just seen Ricochet debut, Jamie Hayter come back, Daniel Garcia return, and they're all great. But when we're looking at All Out and it has zero on the card right now, I think that could have been a really cool moment for that show there.
This is why I feel All In is now the Starrcade. This is these random returns has basically told me that this is the Starrcade. We're putting all our eggs in the basket for Wembley. But you're right. I just do feel like that's why I had the Undertaker thing at WrestleMania. I was like, we got to make sure this is worth coming back next year for, or 2 years from now.
Like I said, I mean, and it's one of these things. I do want to say that Wednesday is going to roll around. Jack Perry is going to do something, and I'm going to be fine with it. And again, I liked every moment. Just as I'm nitpicking this and digging through everything, that's kind of what I was feeling. I was like, well, Jack Perry just got this great win, but I see him running with his tail between his legs, and there's no real way for him to get that back.
Again, maybe we saw it differently. I thought it was like, oh my gosh, if Sting didn't show up, Darby Allin would have been made into a s'more. I don't know why s'more. Yeah. First thing I thought about. So I thought of it like finally a deus machina, a god, had to come down to stop Jack Perry from being into murder. But you're right, that's another way of looking at it, being like, oh, get out of here, it's a 60-year-old man.
I love Sting though. Like I pop for the whole thing. Like I said, it's more, if I was just on my couch watching this at home and not talking about it, I would have been like, oh, that was really fun. But
yeah, I hate fun. I got it.
I do hate fun. Everyone knows that. Danny Cochran with an interesting comment says, I'm waiting for the Marvel movie where Jack discovers his hair. The only problem is there's no one villain with hair I could go against. Oh, you know what it'd be though? It'd be like Unbreakable, where you know, one guy is unbeatable and the other guy is Mr. Glass. I would have to face someone with no hair. Oh my God, Flobo, are you my Mr. Glass?
I blame Danny for this. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. Danny, you're on the list. He made the list. Patrol me all night. Hey Jack, what's behind you?
Lance Storm. We got AEW World Championship title versus career, Swerve Strickland versus Bryan Danielson. Bryan Danielson's family at ringside is the major story here. Swerve hits a number of moves on the neck, including a DVD under the ring bell and a vertebraker. Swerve eats a finisher and is about to put away Bryan anyways. When Adam Page comes out, security gets rid of him, but it allows Bryan Danielson to get back in this thing. And after a battle, Danielson gets the lapel lock on and Swerve Strickland taps out and new world champion. I'm not going to build anything up here. Just you take it. What are your thoughts?
Well, first things first, if I was the family, after seeing Mariah May's mom get slapped in the face, why would you sit in the front row? But that's besides the point. The match here hits all the marks. I will say this. I'm not usually a person that, if you notice all the AEW shows I'm on, I'll never used to say this, but I'm giving all the praise to Prince Nana, because when Daniel Bryan came out, the crowd was completely on the side of the challenger. And when Swerve came out, it really felt kind of weird. Now, we love UGK, we love Swerve, but it really felt like he was the underdog in this thing, even though he's supposed to be top of the mountain. Prince Nana got the crowd back, and it really was a hot matchup. Swerve has done everything he could with that title run. For some reason, he's been the subject of so many think pieces about AEW struggles and how to book a champion, what they're doing right, what's doing wrong. That's going to be a cloud that's over going to be over this run. You're going to say, he was booked wrong, it was this, it was that. But when it came down bell to bell, Swerve gave me the most complete performance. And Jack knows, I don't put over anything in the Pacific Northwest. But Swerve really came over and made it happen. That right there is a classic.
I agree. I thought this was great. I still feel like, too, that I feel like people are nitpicking the Swerve Strickland run. And I think sometimes I feel like they're trying to find ghosts in this just to, for whatever reason. I think sometimes people find stuff they want to tear apart. Is there things that they could have done differently? Sure. But you could say that about every single title run that's ever happened in pro wrestling. I think this was a fantastic run. I think it was a transformative run, in many ways. I tweeted, I think that in many ways, Swerve has become a true life supervillain. He seems just like one of these guys that he has that. He's unstoppable. He's a killer kind of mentality. I love what has happened with Swerve Strickland. And I love that there's a warm handoff to a rivalry with Adam Page that I think is spicier now that it's not for the title. And now that Adam Page can say, I did kind of cost you that championship. So he did get a measure of revenge. I love that. Bryan Danielson already has, as we talked about earlier, Christian Cage on the horizon. He has Darby Allin on the horizon. All great stuff. Darby Allin, a Washington State guy, as well as Bryan Danielson, Wrestle Dream coming up down the road. Could be in a very awesome matchup. Charles saying, aren't they both from Washington? Yes. In fact, 75% of the co-main event was from Washington State. Not a surprise for me.
And it's to me, that state's worst. It's terrible.
Randy comparing Swerve and Cody and their title runs. I don't want to get into the comparison of the two, but I will say they headlined the first Defy show in Washington State. Defy! Defy!
I hate that place just because you love it, not because of any reason, just because you love it. Rainbow sprinkles, boo, just whatever. Just, I hate it. Just, if you love it, I hate it.
I think he's done a great job. I think Swerve has been a fantastic champion. I love the way this ends again, a good feel good moment. And I want to give Bryan Danielson some flowers here. And this was something George, who's lurking in the chat, really brought to light is Bryan Danielson. It's funny because all these people. Wrestling fans want to act like they're the smartest people in the room and they know everything that's going to happen. And they're already assuming what's going to happen with Bryan Danielson. Well, he said he's going to retire, so he has to drop the title on Wednesday, or he has to have a short run, or this is what has to happen. It's pro wrestling, baby. It's a work. We don't know what Bryan Danielson's really going to do. He may have signed another 10-year contract to keep wrestling. We don't know. Bryan Danielson's one of these guys, and again, I'm gonna give George his credit, he's the one that really brought this out this week, but like anything can happen. Why do people assume that something has to happen because a wrestler on a wrestling program said that this is what's happening?
Yeah, that's the problem. There's like two sources in wrestling and everyone repeats those sources, and then you go to a party and I was like, well, I heard, and it's like, really? They told you? Ricochet called you up and said I'm going to AEW?
Yeah. So anything could happen with this Bryan Danielson run. If he drops it, whatever. I still feel like great feel good moment. I still enjoyed it. I think this is a good moment that will still live on in a way that we go, this was kind of like, you know, Sting when he won the tag team champ, or yeah, he won the tag team championships and then dropped the titles the next day. No one really cares that he dropped the titles the next day anymore. We don't care. We just know Sting had a great run, and we all love how it ended, and everyone says that was perfect. I think it's fine. I think history is very forgiving of things if you give us a good moment to get there. And I think that this is one of those moments.
Actually, 100%. I think that's the fact that wrestling is kind of cool, that you can watch long term and have those moments, and the fact that it's always like moving and you can just forget about the weak stuff makes it great.
Yeah. Charles says, let's get Will Ospreay versus Brian. Two different championships. So I don't know if that'll happen, but it's not the first time AEW has done that. I'm sure that's a matchup coming down the road, the rematch, but I don't know if that'll happen right away. I think AEW is in a healthy spot right now, Flobo, as we kind of wrap this up. There's a lot of people I could see going for that world title that feel like they're ready for that shot, and a lot of simmering rivalries that will have people who can go for that shot in a short period of time. They're getting some really good top of the card depth here.
Yeah, absolutely. But even the mid card too, right? The other titles, except for the Continental Championship, has at least one or two suitors for it. So all you can ask for if you're building out these divisions. And so, look, I'm not going to say good versus bad. You watch the wrestling you want, but I do think objectively AEW is in a healthier place now than it was about 8 months ago.
Yeah, I think it's 8 years. Yeah, definitely better than it was. Yeah, definitely better. I feel like I always say, I think that 2023 and maybe the second half of 2022 was rough for AEW. They had a pretty rough go of it. Things just weren't working out for a couple different reasons. But whatever it was, it things just weren't good. I believe, and some other people, if you look on Twitter, believe that once they started the Continental Classic and it started to right the ship, and then as the year turned to 2024, I think they really have started to right the ship. Now, I know some people look at ratings and they go, oh, well, it's the end. Nothing isn't working. You got to change everything again. I think you just got to be patient. I think changing people to getting them to start watching always takes a long time. And I think they're still adjusting things. But I think that AEW is in they're moving in a very good direction. I really enjoyed this. As we sign off, I want to thank everyone for joining us. Charles, Robert, Jeremy, Secular, Randy, Beer, and Corey Pride, Cobalt, and everyone else who is with us. Final thoughts on the show, anything, thoughts on AEW, where the world can find you online, and last question from Made by Don. Thank you, fellas, for the catch, but will Danielson still retire?
Well, he'll retire eventually, and if he does retire, that'd be the best way to do it in Wembley. I think he has a couple more matches in him personally. He may do the John Cena thing where he says, hey, I'm retiring on this day, but this is pretty much the end, I would say. He's done everything there is possibly to do instead of run for office at this point. So why not? You can find me online over on that X at Flobo Boys. Jack and Farmer and I, every Wednesday, we break down NXT in a show we call Draped in Gold. Learn more at drapedingold.com. And between that, I got a little sports comedy blog. It's an open beta. Learn more at justthesandwich.com. That's justthesandwich.com.
Yeah, and you know, I thought this was one of their better shows as far as their big pay-per-views go. It was a long show, but it didn't feel as long as some of the other ones do. I felt like it went by fairly fast. It was enjoyable. A lot of the stuff I think worked for them. As far as do I think Danielson will retire, I think his true end of like regular action, he's one of those guys who'll probably be taking indie bookings for the rest of his life. I just got a feeling that, you know, he'll be like Terry Funk or those other guys who are like 75 and getting in the ring. But I think the end of his like real regular run will actually be Wrestle Dream, if I'm predicting, just because it's in Washington State. I think he's going to want to end it there. But that's just me. I'm just guessing. I don't know. He might have signed a 10-year contract. We're never going to know what's going on with Bryan Danielson because he's one of those guys that's always playing the game. Again, I like the show. I think you can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. And as Flobo mentioned, we cover NXT every Wednesday morning. Check that out for Draped in Gold. Always a great show. Always a good time. Really? You can also check me out on Wrestling Inc. every Monday and Wednesday, covering Raw and Dynamite. You know, sometimes I do other shows as well. You know, whenever Wrestling Inc. blows into the seashell from Wrestling Inc. Meadow. No one knows how it got there, but that's
is it guarded? From. Is there, it's like a box around it? It's just on the ground? Like, well, how does that even work?
You find it and you go,
oh, okay.
It's from there originally, but now it's on a chain that rests around the sentinel of Wrestling Inc.'s shoulders around his neck. And so he's made out of stone and he goes, you can hear like grinding when he moves and he goes, oh.
And no one hears it but you, apparently.
No one knows how this stone sentinel blows air. It's like a really weird thing, but it's the magic of Wrestling Inc.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how it happens. That's when I get there. But also, I'm going to be on the call at Santino Brothers Wrestling this Thursday for Fight Night 14. We got a huge matchup. The winner of the LA Rumble, Alec Tomas, is facing Slice Boogie for the Santino Brothers Championship. That's going to be a huge matchup. And look, you know, I do commentary. I do ring announcing. I do interviews, Flobo. Everyone, if you want to be supportive, put it out there on Twitter. Put it out there on social media. Hire Jack Farmer. I'd love to be on one of these AEW shows, on one of these WWE shows, on one of these. You know, put me over, brother.
Why would I do that? I mean, they might because they like you and your hair, but why would I do that?
Okay, everyone. The only way to defeat Flobo, the Mr. Hey. Glass of Wrestling Inc.
I think I coughed too hard. Oh, no.
The only way to stop him is to tell Tony Khan, to tell Triple H, to tell whoever to hire this guy for one of their shows. I think it'd be great for everybody. Just do it already, won't you? 5-star review while you're at it. I'm done putting myself over. Thank you, though, to everyone who's been a part of this show. It's always fun chatting with you all. I'm going to hit the end stream button, and we will see you guys on Wrestling Inc. on Monday.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.